With informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush may have surprised a lot of people with his 2.5-hour trip to Baghdad International Airport on Thanksgiving, but many in the media are questioning the White House's methods. The extraordinary steps the White House took to conceal Mr. Bush's whereabouts were undertaken primarily to ensure his safety, his aides said yesterday. But several of the editors, news directors, and producers responsible for directing coverage of the Bush administration said that they found aspects of the White House strategy to be deceptive, excessively secretive, and disruptive of the relationship between writer and editor. One editor objected to a briefing a White House spokeswoman gave to reporters in Crawford early Wednesday afternoon, announcing that Bush would be spending Thanksgiving at his ranch. To Philip Taubman, Washington bureau chief of the New York Times, that briefing appeared to constitute, quote, deliberate deception. Soldiers with the Army's 3rd Infantry Division charged into Iraq in April short of the ammunition their commanders had said was necessary to invade, according to a post-war evaluation of the fighting. It was one of a number of supply problems encountered by the 3rd Infantry before and during its 21-day dash to Baghdad from Kuwait. During the run-up to the war, division commanders requested additional ammunition be delivered to frontline units. The request was approved, but the troops could not obtain all the ordnance despite months of war preparation. A former Iraqi general died while under American interrogation, the U.S. military said Thursday. An air defense general captured October 5th in a raid near the Syrian border was being questioned Wednesday while in American custody in Qaim near the Syrian border when he lost consciousness after complaining he didn't feel well. He was pronounced dead by a U.S. military physician. The cause of death and interrogation techniques are under investigation, but Malhoush's head was not hooded during questioning, the 82nd Airborne said. More news after this.
I'm a good driver. I look for cars. I pay attention. I should have seen the little girl in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them.
Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Petite Sonia Thomas wolfed down 7¾ pounds of holiday food in 12 minutes on Wednesday to defeat a pair of 400-pound rivals and win the Thanksgiving Invitational Eating Contest. The 106-pound Thomas of Alexandria, Virginia, devoured massive helpings of yams, green beans, cranberry sauce, and turducken, a turkey stuffed with duck, chicken, and sausage, to win the event. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get a mini remote control Napa delivery truck for just $14.99. This is the good stuff. At only an inch and a half tall, this amazing little truck has working headlights, a Napa hat that lights up, and roaring engine sounds. And you can steer it in any direction, including forward and reverse. So make someone happy this holiday season. Come to Napa.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
It's time to venture again into the far, far, far out frontiers of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you for another spin around the wondrous world of truth in advertising, with Consumer Reports magazine being our chief guide. First, let's stop by the galaxy of incredibly shrinking packages, always a fun way for companies to jack up prices in the hope that consumers won't notice. Got a new baby? Maybe you like to use Pampers newborn swaddlers diapers. What you won't like is that the maker, Procter & Gamble, has quietly cut the number of swaddlers per package from 48 to 40. Yet you pay the same price to get less product, a sneaky 17% price hike. Likewise, Wegmans Supermarket downsized its yogurt cup from 8 ounces to 6. But instead of trying to hide the change, Wegmans label actually brags about the ripoff, declaring in happy red type, smaller size, bigger taste, same price. Then there are some product promises that make you go, huh? Procter & Gamble, for example, has a new man's body wash sold under its Old Spice label. It's apparently meant for those sweaty times when men might feel that more than plain old soap is needed. Yet the label makes a bold promise that most of us wouldn't think necessary. Won't wash away testosterone. Many come-ons require attention to the small print, such as the ad for a chain of clubs called 24-Hour Fitness. Then, in tiny type, you learn, not all clubs open 24 hours. There's also Marriott Hotels, which puts a bottle of spring water in your room, saying, please enjoy. But the small print says, it'll cost you $4.50. This is Jim Hightower saying, the prize for the No Fooling Award, however, goes to a swimming pool supply company that offers this hot deal. Buy first item at double normal price, get the second identical item absolutely free.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, streaming down from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite, Stream 145, and beaming all around the planet on various internet radio stations, live365.com, ieamericaradio.com, and radiopower.org with archives at whiterosesociety.org. You can find it all by going to tomhartman.com or ieamericaradio.com. And welcome to our program today, day 137. In the search for that person who created treason among the senior White House staff.
And I don't know if we're going to find out the senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
All right, day 291 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. Day 777 in the search for the person who sent anthrax to the two people who were most responsible, or potentially most responsible, for slowing down the Patriot Act if it were to happen, and day 800 in the search for Osama bin Laden. Is George Bush buying the 2004 election with our children's money? We have Congressman Dennis Kucinich on, and presidential candidate, a good guy who really understands these issues. Congressman Kucinich, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, good to be with you, Tom.
Thank you. I'm so glad you could be here. Is George Bush buying the 2004 election with our children's money? We're seeing this this Medicare bill that's funded, but it's not being paid for by taxes. We're seeing this huge tax increase, this enormous debt, jumpstarting the economy, apparently, with, you know, the same way that Reagan did back in the early 80s by just dumping deficit spending, you know, into the pot. Is that how you see it?
Well, I think that what you're saying is correct, but I would add to it the $1 trillion in tax cuts that went to the wealthiest Americans, the expense of the war in Iraq, which is now over $130 billion and counting, the expense of a Pentagon budget, which is by now totally fear-driven, over $400 billion and counting. All of these misdirected priorities take away from the needs of this country, take away from the aspirations of American families and the hopes for our children.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they're also, at the moment, being funded by debt. And, yeah, we drop bombs on Iraq. We have to build new bombs here. That creates a job that creates, you know, it seems to, it gives a temporary boost to the economy. It's not the kind of long-term boost that you get if you're building bridges that can be used for a long time.
Well, you're right about that. And Americans should be concerned that we are now approaching a $500 billion annual deficit. Now, when you consider that we had a $236 billion surplus in the year 2000, you see what a dramatic reversal of the fortunes of this nation has occurred. And that reversal has come through tax breaks to the wealthy, which were not necessary. It's come from war against Iraq, which was not necessary. It has come from a buildup in the Pentagon budget that has nothing to do with the challenges which America faces today in the world from non-state actors, terrorists. So, you know, it's very clear that this administration is sapping the vitality of this country to meet its real obligations to the people.
Yeah, and in the process, pulling off stunts, you know, this trip to Iraq yesterday, the aircraft carrier landing, the claiming, you know, the Medicare is now solved. It's smoke and mirrors is mind-boggling to me. Pardon me for getting really partisan here, but I'm just stunned.
Well,
do you think
it's deception on a large scale, but it's deception with a purpose. I mean, it's one thing to say you're going to do one thing and do another, which unfortunately politicians seem to excel at. But there's something different here. The Bush administration has been saying one thing and doing another on health care so that they can enhance the profits of insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies, who will then turn around and give money to the campaign for the president. And so, you know, this is nothing less than a stripping away of the assets of this country and turning those assets over to private corporations.
Yeah. Today is Buy Nothing Day, Congressman Kucinich, and declared by adbusters.org, and they've been out there, you know, putting their ads out and whatnot on this topic. What are your thoughts on consumerism in America?
Well, the quest for authenticity in society, the quest that we all have for quality of life, is something that goes far beyond just having. The real existential challenge which all of us face is not in having, but being. And a culture which identifies the value of an individual based on what they have is a culture which denies the opportunity for people to express the power of who they are by simply creating value based on how much money you're worth. And so what I'm hoping to do is to create a new type of discussion in this country, one which shares this tremendous wealth of this nation in a more equitable way, one which uses the resources of this country so that all may be fed, so that all may be housed, and all may have health care and education. Educational opportunities, and that everyone may have a job. You know, this involves a conscious change in the direction which America may take. And so today, when so many people might be rushing to go and shop, I think it's an appropriate day to ask the question as to what's it all about, and to at the same time want to create enough of a sense of our ability to empower each individual to be able to be creators in their own right, but just to strive for materialism is sometimes a quest that ends up in a dead end.
Yeah, ultimately futile. If any of our listeners would like to call or has a question for Congressman Kucinich, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES. Yesterday, I was channel surfing, I confess, and came across, I think it was Tim Russert interviewing Bill O'Reilly, and Bill O'Reilly went into this long rant about the income redistributors, and it's an unconscionable sin. How do you respond to right-wingers who say that, particularly in Congress? I mean, many of your colleagues think that income redistribution is a sin.
Well, wait. If they believe that, then I hope they repent, because what we see is the income being redistributed upwards. I mean, what was the tax cut except taking the resources of this country and giving it to the wealthiest Americans? What is this Medicare proposal about except redistributing the health care assets of this nation to the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies? What is the effort to privatize Social Security about, except an effort to give Wall Street the resources of Americans' retirees? I mean, all over this country, there is a increasing maldistribution of wealth, which is occurring because people have it in their minds that they're going to take from the many and give to the few. So those who object to a more equitable distribution of the wealth ought to look in the mirror.
Yeah. Well, I agree. And there are many, many people. I've been surprised by the number of people who email me or call into this show who think that in some way, somehow, a flat tax is fair, is a fair tax, for example, that that doesn't represent the redistribution of income. Speak to that issue for a moment, if you would.
Well, our tax system needs to be changed in a couple ways. First of all, we need to make sure that it's truly based on ability to pay. But the way the system is administered is something to behold, because the tax exemptions that are given for people inevitably means that more and more of a burden taxation is put on the backs of middle-income people in this country and the poor. And as a result, we end up with situations like people incorporating offshore in order to avoid paying the taxes. We end up with situations where various tax breaks are given in the tax bill to interest groups so they don't have to pay a fair share. We end up with a situation where we incentivize the production of non-renewable energy and discourage the production of renewable energy. I mean, a tax code is really a document as to the direction you want your country to go in.
Yeah, it's a way of defining.
Right.
Pardon me. Yeah, of defining social policy. 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number, Terry in California and Sue in New Jersey on the line. Terry, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air with Dennis Kucinich.
Thank you, Tom. Hello, Dennis. I met you, last summer sometime in Sonoma, where you were out there protesting with some health workers in Sonoma. And I shook your hand when you came off your podium there. At that time, I asked you if you were watching the euro versus the dollar, and you said you were. And I just noted today that the euro hit an all-time high against the dollar, and I would like to have your sentiments about that and the possibility of what could be happening with our entire financial structure should the euro become the standard instead of the dollar.
Well, what I'm concerned about more than anything is what happens when our dollar policies facilitate the movement of jobs out of this country, because that's been going on for some time now. And I think that the dollar policies are working in a negative way with America's trade policies to accelerate the wealth of this nation out of this country. And it's a way of enhancing the wealth of multinational corporations.
You're talking about the apparent policy of this administration to drive down the dollar, the dollar to drop, or are they simply killing it off by a domestic policy, by tax policies and debts?
Well, you know, this so-called strong dollar approach needs to be looked at carefully, because what we're doing is creating the possibility for an exodus of jobs from this country.
By holding the dollar up, you mean?
Right.
Ah, so you're in favor of allowing the dollar or taking action that would drive down the value of the dollar relative to other currencies?
Now, what I'm saying is that we have to be aware of the choices, of the impact of the choices we're making here. And we have to be aware that our monetary policies have an effect on America's economy and our ability to hold jobs in this country.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, although I think that we need to be looking at trade policy and monetary policy at the same time or separately. Anyway, if you can hold on for just a moment, we have to take a break here. We're talking with Congressman Dennis Kucinich. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
When you purchase or refinance a home, the lender closing cost may add up to thousands of dollars. Well, at Ditech.com, we've cut our closing cost to just $395. It's called the Ditech One Fee. One low fee is all there is. No points or broker fee. The $395 Ditech One Fee. Why pay more? Log on to Ditech.com for terms and license disclosures or call 1-800-DITECH-1. That's 1-800-DITECH-1. Equal housing opportunity.
The following conversation is real. It took place on April 1st, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Jeff.
I would like to activate my phone.
Right now, it looks like it has been activated. And are you familiar how to make a call?
No.
All right, let me explain it to you. Whenever you get ready to place a call, there's a white dot button.
Right, it's got a green light flashing right now.
Yeah, right beside it. Whenever you get ready to place a call, you'll press that button, and the system's going to say OnStar ready. You're going to say the word dial.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free, voice-activated cellular phone built into OnStar-equipped vehicles. So if your cell phone is forgotten, out of range, or has a low battery, you'll have the backup you need to make and receive important calls from the road just in case. Many Chevrolet cars and trucks are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. OnStar Personal Calling is available in most markets. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com.
I think that's it for now until I see how I like it. My brother's got it. He said, don't you dare buy a vehicle without it.
Good to hear.
Thank you so much.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Oh, geez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out. Jeez. You're an idiot.
Sure.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Oh, man.
Come on.
The best in progressive talk radio, weekdays, on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Latin and part Greek, Celtic and Arabic, all in a heap. Well amended by the people in the street, the Choctaw.
back, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're speaking with Congressman Dennis Kucinich and presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich. Congressman Kucinich, we have an email here. I've got a couple of folks on hold, too, I want to get to. I know we only have 4 minutes left here, and then you've got to go. This from Aspen. She says, I live in the mountains, don't have a phone. I have a question for Dennis Kucinich. My name is Aspen. I'm 15 years old. I want to thank you for what you're doing. The world you envision is the world I want for my future. My question is, would you support mothers to stay at home with their children, and do you support homeschooling?
I think mothers ought to be able to stay at home with their children, and I think we need to look at what can be done to assure that women, as they near retirement age, are able to get some kind of assistance through Social Security, make sure that they get credit for all the years that they put in to child care. I don't think there's any job that is more challenging and more important for society than the work of mothers who and fathers who stay home with their children. And so the next issue is homeschooling. I think that's an option that people ought to have. If people want to spend the time and take care of their children's educational needs, people have a right to do that as long as there's some structure involved that makes sure that the child's educational needs are being met. I know I've met many people who have been involved in homeschooling. Now, I see that as a distinct issue, though, from issues like vouchers and charter schools, which I think end up taking money away from public education. But I think homeschooling has a role to play.
I'm a strong advocate of public education, and we homeschooled our third child. So it's
right. So I think I think that we can support public education and must, and at the same time always allow Americans to have that. That option if they choose to provide for their children's education themselves.
Great. Okay, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. We're talking with Congressman Dennis Kucinich, candidate for President of the United States. Sue in New Jersey's on the line. Hey, Sue, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, how are you? This
great.
Is I'm from your chat room. I'm home today from work. I'm so happy to talk
super.
To you.
Oh, super. Okay, thank you.
And Dennis Kucinich, it's an honor. First of all, I just wanted to point out, I've only seen three hits on Google on this story, that Ellen Mariani, she's suing, she's a widow of 911, and she's suing George W. Bush et al.
Under RICO.
Under RICO. I don't know if you talked about this yesterday, but I think it's a huge story, and
okay.
I'm hoping Dennis
so
will bring
it. So we've only got Dennis on for another minute and a half here.
Do you have
a quick question for him?
I just wanted to thank him for bringing hope, and I don't know. I don't have any questions, really.
Well,
I just,
thank you for calling.
Wish you so much luck. Just, keep your positive, hopeful vision out there.
Thank you very much for calling.
And in fact, I'm going to take host's option here and ask you the last question because I think it's an important one. I have a lot of people who call or contact me and just say that they're on the edge of despair, that the country's going into fascism, the George, all. How do you, in the 30 seconds or so or minute we have left, how do you keep up your optimism, and what do you suggest to other people who are sliding off?
Well, it's a quality of heart. I mean, we must. Be strong of heart. We must remember that this country was founded by individuals who understood the connection between bravery and freedom. So, we have to call in that courage that all of us have. It's a place somewhere inside of us that's just waiting to be heard. And there are times when we just have to step forward and say, hey, enough is enough. We're not going to let this country be dragged down. We have to remember where we've come from as a nation, the visionary leaders we've had, and take not just comfort in that, but realize our responsibilities as the inheritors of the dream to keep that dream alive. And so, every day I'm inspired by this tradition of American history where people have come forward at critical moments to make a difference. And I ask all of your listeners to go to our website at Kucinich.us, Kucinich.us, to learn about the efforts that we're making to keep that dream alive.
Okay. Thank you, Congressman Dennis Kucinich, Kucinich.us. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Bye now.
Thanks. And this is Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Extreme close-ups of nature's family relationships may not show the whole picture. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The scientific tree of life is much like a big family tree. It shows how different species are related. This idea has been around for more than 250 years, but the tree of life keeps changing. New findings allow scientists to rearrange branches, or at least some of the twigs. For example, researchers have been looking at small parts of an organism's genetic makeup called ribosomal RNA, but that might be too narrow a focus. Jonathan Eisen, a biologist at the Institute for Genomic Research in Rockville, Maryland, is using a relatively new approach that takes a broader view. Eisen studies all the genetic material in bacteria to determine how different species are related.
If we look at the entire genetic content of different bacteria and ask how are all of the genes related to all of the genes from another bacteria, do we get the same answer that people got by studying a single gene, this ribosomal RNA? And can we use this study of the whole genome to get a more precise picture of how bacteria are related to each other and how the history of bacteria occurred over time?
Eisen says the organism Microsporidia is an example. It was thought to be an unusual parasite related to humans and plants.
More recently, someone has sequenced the whole genome of one of these organisms, and analyzing all of the proteins from the genome of this organism, people have come to the conclusion that, in fact, this is a fungi. It's nothing unusual at all. The ribosomal RNA gene from this organism was what was unusual.
Gaining a more accurate understanding of nature's linkages has real-world applications. For example, doctors can now use drugs designed to treat fungal diseases to fight Microsporidia infections. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Handy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Sipe from United Marketing Force, Jay Brintlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Litford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
It was in another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue, when the road was full of mud. I've come in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. If I pass this way again, you can rest assured I'll always do my best for her, on that I give my word. In a world of steel-eyed death and men who are fighting to be warm, come in, she said, I'll give you a shelter from the storm.
Helping you in the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome back. Today, Buy Nothing Day 2003. Buy Nothing Day, an important day. We've got a couple of callers we're going to get to in just a second. If you can hold on just one moment, I want to share this spot with you from the adbusters.org group.
The average North American consumes 5 times more than a Mexican, 10 times more than a Chinese person, and 30 times more than a person from India. We are the most voracious consumers in the world. A world that could die because of the way we North Americans live. Give it a rest. November 28th is Buy Nothing Day.
So, a great day to spend time with friends and family. Anyhow, Rama's on the line in Vermont. Hey, Rama, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hello, Tom. I'm sorry, I missed Mr. Kucinich, actually. Just a quick question that I had for him that I guess I'll throw it out there for whoever cares. It's about Iraq, and it's whether you listen to Dennis Kucinich or Howard Dean or Mr. Clark or anybody from the Bush administration in Iraq, they all seem to have the same basic answer, which is that we need these foreign troops in occupying Iraq in order for anything good to happen. When, as far as I can tell from everything I read, the Iraqis don't want foreigners there. They don't care whether they're from the U.S. or from Germany or, God forbid, the Turkey, which I define as insanity, wanting to send Turkish troops into Iraq. They want basically to be able to try to handle their internal affairs themselves. And I was just kind of curious as to why Congressman Kucinich actually thinks that maybe asking the U.N. to send in foreign troops is really any better answer for Iraq than our troops in there.
Well, I can't speak for him, but I can give you my take on it.
Sure.
And that is that I don't think that the Iraqis are objecting to somebody in their country's state of sense among Iraqis, as there is among Europeans and pretty much the rest of the planet, that we have our clutching fingers around the throats of the Iraqi economy. I mean, we have gone in and said we're going to the occupation force, the same group that is supervising the soldiers on the ground, are going to start selling off the businesses that are owned by Iraq, you know, by the nation of Iraq, and they're going to sell them off mostly to Americans, and they're going to sell them off under terms that don't require any repatriation of profits. That is, you can take all the money out of Iraq. And this is, it's war profiteering. It's plundering. It's the spoils of war. You know, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's not. It's something we didn't do in Germany. We didn't do in Japan. We didn't do anywhere else in the world. And it is the con agenda writ large. Turn everything over to big business and then let big business control the government. I mean, that's the conservative agenda. And that's the bottom line. And the Iraqis know that. And they're, you know, they're not happy about that. So I think that, broadly speaking, in Iraq, if the United Nations was to come in and was to say, we're going to stop the privatization of Iraqi corporations on an international basis, you can privatize them domestically like Russia did, which is probably reasonable, although some of them probably should remain state businesses. And similarly, that they're going to turn security over to not a nation that is supervising the oil. I mean, that's the other big issue, the Iraqi businesses and the oil. And build an Iraqi state oil company and start using those revenues, you know, for Iraq. I don't think that they're saying we don't want anybody here. I think they're saying we want sovereignty, we want our nation, and we would like to know that when we ask you guys to get out, you'll leave.
A point well taken. I disagree with what I read them saying. However, never being to Iraq myself either, I don't know for a fact. But I also get suspicious of this, that the U.S. will run the business or won't run, or some foreign entity won't be interfering with the Iraqi businesses and trying to wholesale sell them off to large multinational corporations if it's not us. Because, I mean, in all honesty, as much as I sometimes like the French or the Germans or the Spanish or the Russians or the Chinese, you know, anybody that gets their mitts in there is going to do it with the idea of financial compensation in mind for their businesses and their economy. So
yes and no. I mean, there's ways to do it and ways not to do it. For example, back in the 1970s, a friend of mine in New York, Jerry Schneiderman, and I started a company called Langley St. Clair Instrumentation Systems, and we were importing from Japan anti-radiation screen shields. This is back when picture tubes on computers had actually much lower lead contents in them than they do now, and there was actually measurable X-rays coming out of picture tubes. that people were using on computer screens. And I went over to Japan and was negotiating with a company to buy these things, and also low radiation CRTs, low radiation picture tubes, cathode ray tubes. And got into some pretty good, I mean, we did a fair amount of business there and got into some pretty good discussions with the folks there. And if you wanted back then, I don't know how it is now, I'm assuming it's still the case, but if you want to start a business in Japan, you have to have a Japanese partner who owns 51% of the stock. You cannot be a majority stockholder in Japan. You can't even be a parity stockholder in Japan. They have to own 51% of the stock. And it's been that way at least, you know, since, I mean, that's written into the Constitution that MacArthur helped write. And that's not uncommon, by the way, around the world. So, sure. You know, I think that Iraq has lots of options to protect their domestic economy, and they know it.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I want to agree, but I disagree, because I think with Japan's case is, especially, we went out of our way to make sure that they had control of the economic and the civilian side of things.
No, we didn't. We took the whole thing over.
Well, for
MacArthur
very,
ran that country for the first 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, but it was only long enough to get a U.S. approved constitution made, and then we basically got out of the way and gave them protectionist economic policies that they could live on, and we opened our markets up for them. And I don't see the same thing happening with Iraq. I don't see anybody in the world expressing the interest to give Iraq businesses to the Iraqis. You know, everybody's, I think personally France and Germany are kind of ticked off because it's the U.S. that's controlling it and not them. And that's why I think the best answer for Iraq is for all foreign troops to get out of Iraq, turn the country back over to the Iraqis. We guarantee their borders and let things go and take a course.
Yeah, and if a civil war happens?
Well, it's happening right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay, good point. Thank you, Rama. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Arnold in Florida is on the line. Hey, Arnold, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hello, Tom. I'm just so delighted to find your radio show. I just wanted speak to your, you know, you're talking about redistribution of wealth. And I thought you would be interested in, if you're probably familiar with them already, but are you familiar with the History of Civilization by Will and Ariel Durant?
Oh, yeah. It's been 20 years since I took a look at it.
But, right.
Yeah.
After he wrote all those, he and his wife, he wrote a little book called The Lessons of History. I don't know if you might be familiar with that.
I don't know about that.
It's a short little book where he sort of broad strokes his assessment of, you know, cultures and the similarities and what's worked and what didn't work. And, you know, his take on that whole thing is that in a truly free society, you know, freedom and equality can't exist because people are not equal. And more talented people tend to assimilate to themselves more wealth. And I'm not going to propose that I read this, but he has an account here of Athens in 594 BC written by, he's quoting Plutarch, and it could have been written yesterday, you know, of how how Athens, cooler heads in Athens tend, you know, by redistributing some wealth and making the courts fairer and graduated income tax and everything really saved a revolt, you know, because it's, you know, as the I was just fascinated at that. I might type this and email that to you. I think you'd find it interesting. And
I'd love to see it.
On the air.
Yeah.
The other thing is I consider myself a master of stating the obvious, but, you know, in our whole war on terrorism, you know, is before we invade any more countries, I think we should find, you know, consult some countries that don't seem to have the problem and see how they're managing to, you know, avoid the freedom hating.
Well,
the
starting point, Arnold, nobody else is declaring war on abstractions. We have a long history of declaring war on abstractions here in the United States. We have a war on poverty.
Oh, I know.
You know? Right. War on drugs. We're going to have a war on illiteracy. How do you have a war on illiteracy? And now we've got a war on terrorism. It's like saying we're going to have a war on triggers. We're going to have a war on bullets. We're going to have terrorism is a tactic. It is not a people. It is not a nation. It is not a group. It is a tactic. And that's the problem, is that, you know, from the very beginning, the appropriate way, we had the entire world in our hand. We had the entire world. I mean, in Iraq, they were marching in support of us, right, after 9/11. We had the entire world on our side, and all we had to do was say, those people who attacked us, that, you know, it's apparently Al-Qaeda. There's a lot of evidence. Here's the evidence. We will show it to the world. Al-Qaeda attacked us. They are criminals. And everybody understands what criminal means, and we want the cooperation of the police agencies and nations all around the world to track down these criminals, and let's criminalize the behavior and go after them as if they're criminals. If you have to declare war on a nation because they're harboring criminals, which was the choice that the Bush administration took with Afghanistan, even though the Taliban tried to give up bin Laden. They tried to surrender bin Laden, you know, to anybody but the United States. They would have given him to France or Germany or England And Bush said, no, you know, we'd rather have a war, thank you very much. And so bin Laden is still running around loose. But he wants to be the warrior president because he believes that'll get him reelected in 2004. And then that war wasn't, you know, and that one kind of faded off, so he had to have another one. But I'm off on a rant here. But the thing that most countries that are confronting terrorism and succeeding, whether it's Greece with the November 17 terrorist group, or whether it was the Red Brigades in Germany, what was the group in Italy? Or it was the Red Brigades in Italy. I forget the name of the group in Germany. For that matter, the IRA in Ireland, is by not identifying them as a nation and elevating them in status, but rather defining them as criminals and diminishing their status, and dealing with them by force of law, by rule of law, in an appropriate fashion. When you go after people in a way that breaks your own laws, I mean, this is the problem we have with Guantanamo Bay. This is the problem we have with our interrogation techniques. When we violate our own principles, we no longer can stand on principle.
These wars on everything have always done more harm than they ever did any good. You know.
Yeah.
I enjoyed your show and very much. I'm gonna hang up, but I wanted to get you to speak to one more thing. What do you think about a national sales tax and getting rid of the IRS? You know, I thought it was a good idea, just for a lot of reasons, from just productivity to less government intrusion. I think the IRS is really, just another strong arm of the government, and I'm not even sure that income tax is legal and all that, but national sales tax seems more fair to me.
Yeah, let me respond to that, and I'll let you go, and then I'll just rant a little bit here. This last weekend I was reading the letters of Thomas Jefferson, and in 1816, in a letter, I don't remember who it was to now. Anyhow, he outlined this amazing thing had happened. This guy, Tracy, was a French economist who in 1806, 1804, 1806, when Napoleon was in charge of France and Jefferson was president of the United States, this guy had written a treatise on economics, and he was banned in France. And he wanted to get the thing published. And so he, through Lafayette, who was a friend of his and was a friend of Jefferson's, he asked Thomas Jefferson, President of the United States, if he would translate this thing from French into English. And Jefferson took 4 hours a day for 4 months and translated this book, De Soot de Tracy's treatise on economics. And Jefferson summarizes it in this one letter that I was reading, and it was fascinating. He said, first of all, there's three ways that you can tax people. You can tax people on their income, on the cash coming into them. You can tax them on their net wealth, on their total wealth, or you can tax them on consumption. And Jefferson, which would be a sales tax, the tax on wealth, the closest we have to that here is property tax, but the way that they used to do it, and the way that they do it in a lot of nations, actually in Europe, for example, some of the Scandinavian nations, is they just add up everything you own at the end of the year, and you pay a tax on it. And so, anyhow, Jefferson said we can tax people in one of these three ways, but not more than one. Because if we were to use more than one of these three ways, it would be double taxation. Secondly, he said, we must make sure, regardless of which of these three ways we tax people, that we do not tax people on the necessities of life. So he was proposing a progressive tax like the progressive income tax, the theory of which being that if it takes, if the first $30,000 of somebody's income, or back when the progressive income tax was first put into place, the first $2,000 of somebody's income is what it takes to buy food and pay rent and buy clothes for the kids, then people aren't going to pay any tax on that because we're not going to tax the necessities. And I thought that was fascinating. He also had something to say about retirement, or rather inheritance tax, which I'll tell you about when I get back from this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is Eric Muller reporting from Chopper 5.
Cut!
News happens fast. Can I afford to let a cold slow me down? Not up here. When I'm achy, with a stuffy nose and a sore throat, I take Advil Cold and Sinus. It's got the power of Advil to handle tough pain, plus a hard-working decongestant. That's why they call it Advil Cold and Sinus.
Quick, over to the highway!
I call it fast relief for a reporter on the fly.
For tough colds, advance to Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
I own a chain of spas. We offer mud baths, hydrotherapy, everything to de-stress our clients. So if we run into a cash flow problem, the last thing we want is to start stressing out ourselves.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of OPEN, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It's very calming.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
We
are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, Bartkop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, I've heard newborn babies crying like a moaning dove, and old men with broken teeth stranded without love. Do I understand your question, man? Is it hopeless and forlorn? Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison instead of right-wing think tanks or the RNC. The final point that Jefferson made in that 1816 letter was that he felt that when wealth among individuals, and of course back in that day, they felt that they had corporate wealth under control, because there were very, very strict laws about, you know, what a corporation could do and how much wealth it could have and all that sort of thing. But that when wealth among individuals or with an individual or an individual family reached what he called a level dangerous to democracy, that it was appropriate that the government use the laws of equal inheritance, it's a quote, to redeem the situation, to equalize the situation. In other words, he was calling for an inheritance tax to prevent family empires from arising. See, the founders were very, very worried, frankly, about aristocracy, about an aristocracy arising in America, rising up and taking over and seizing control of government. And if you look at it, there aren't any dynastic families left over from then. In fact, George Washington didn't, when he died, as he was writing his will a few months before he died, he didn't have enough money to buy out all of the slaves that his wife's family had inherited so that he could free all of his own slaves. He was, it's funny to hear historians say, George Washington, the richest man in America. Well, yeah, he had a lot of land. But that really didn't mean that you were rich back then. It just meant you had a lot of land, because there was a lot of land to have. You know, the smallpox and other epidemics that the Europeans had brought with them had just wiped out huge numbers of Native Americans. I mean, just huge numbers. And then, of course, the Indian Wars and genocide, you know, played a big role in it as well. But the initial clearing of the East Coast was mostly by disease. In any case, even Washington didn't have the cash, so that he had to worry about an inheritance tax. And the wealthiest family was, of course, the Johnson family up in the in the Mohawk Valley, and they fled to Canada after the war. Most of the very rich in America, prior to 1776, left the country, went back to England, or went to Canada after the American Revolution. So the founders were all in favor of taxation as a way of paying for the government and equalizing the society to a certain extent. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the place where smart people get their news.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Tick-tick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Zebra.
Mike Malloy is rational, and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof.
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush may have surprised a lot of people with his 2.5-hour trip to Baghdad International Airport on Thanksgiving, but many in the media are questioning the White House's methods. The extraordinary steps the White House took to conceal Mr. Bush's whereabouts were undertaken primarily to ensure his safety, his aides said yesterday. But several of the editors, news directors, and producers responsible for directing coverage of the Bush administration said that they found aspects of the White House strategy to be deceptive, excessively secretive, and disruptive of the relationship between writer and editor. One editor objected to a briefing a White House spokeswoman gave to reporters in Crawford early Wednesday afternoon, announcing that Bush would be spending Thanksgiving at his ranch. To Philip Taubman, Washington bureau chief of the New York Times, that briefing appeared to constitute, quote, deliberate deception. Elsewhere in Iraq, American soldiers played volleyball and ate turkey for Thanksgiving while remembering comrades slain by insurgents. A U.S. commander warned troops to watch their friends because suicides were on the rise. Their tents and dormitories in a military compound next to Baghdad's mother of all battles, mosque, were decorated with papier-mâché turkeys and orange streamers. The soldiers marked the day with sports and a concert amid what seems to be a troubling trend of suicide among enlisted personnel. Since April, at least 17 Americans, 15 Army soldiers and 2 Marines, have taken their own lives in Iraq. At least 24 non-combat deaths, some possible suicides, are under investigation. A former Iraqi general died while under American interrogation, the U.S. military said Thursday. An air defense general captured October 5th in a raid near the Syrian border was being questioned Wednesday while in American custody in Qaim near the Syrian border when he lost consciousness after complaining he didn't feel well. He was pronounced dead by a U.S. military physician. The cause of death and interrogation techniques are under investigation, but Malhoush's head was not hooded during questioning, the 82nd Airborne said. More news after this.
I'm a good driver. I look for cars. I pay attention. I should have seen the little girl in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
In an effort to make it easier for pets to travel with their owners in Europe, the European Commission on Thursday proposed issuing wallet-sized passports for dogs, cats, and ferrets. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
This season, don't just give a gift, give the good life at the Thanksgiving weekend sale at Sears. All weekend, save big throughout the store. Plus, this Friday, come into Sears from 6 to 11 a.m. and save 50% off hundreds of items, from electronics to fine jewelry, including our lowest price ever on a Sylvania Combination TV-DVD player, just $129.99. Can't wait for the holidays? Then hurry into Sears and save big. Find us online at Sears.com or at America Online, keyword Sears. This holiday, give the good life. Sears, good life, great price. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 11/28/03.
It's time to venture again into the far, far, far out frontiers of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you for another spin around the wondrous world of truth in advertising, with Consumer Reports magazine being our chief guide. First, let's stop by the galaxy of incredibly shrinking packages, always a fun way for companies to jack up prices in the hope that consumers won't notice. Got a new baby? Maybe you like to use Pampers newborn swaddlers diapers. What you won't like is that the maker, Procter & Gamble, has quietly cut the number of swaddlers per package from 48 to 40. Yet you pay the same price to get less product, a sneaky 17% price hike. Likewise, Wegmans Supermarket downsized its yogurt cup from 8 ounces to 6. But instead of trying to hide the change, Wegmans label actually brags about the ripoff, declaring in happy red type, smaller size, bigger taste, same price. Then there are some product promises that make you go, huh? Procter & Gamble, for example, has a new man's body wash sold under its Old Spice label. It's apparently meant for those sweaty times when men might feel that more than plain old soap is needed. Yet the label makes a bold promise that most of us wouldn't think necessary. Won't wash away testosterone. Many come-ons require attention to the small print, such as the ad for a chain of clubs called 24-Hour Fitness. Then, in tiny type, you learn, not all clubs open 24 hours. There's also Marriott Hotels, which puts a bottle of spring water in your room saying, please enjoy. But the small print says, it'll cost you $4.50. This is Jim Hightower saying, the prize for the No Fooling Award, however, goes to a swimming pool supply company that offers this hot deal. Buy first item at double normal price, get the second identical item absolutely free.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Ban ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Ban ji la.
You know everything. Xie xie. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast, streaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellites, channel 145, and beaming around the world on the internet, radiopower.org, live365.com, ieamericaradio.com. You can find it all at tomhartman.com or at ieamericaradio.com. Welcome to our program today. It is day 137 in the search to see if Joe Wilson's dream will be fulfilled.
At the end of the day, it's of keen interest to me to see whether or not we can get Karl Rove frog marks out of the White House in handcuffs.
So far, no luck. So far, no word. Have you seen a thing about this in the media? Day 291 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. Day 777 in the search for anthrax, killers, who just happened to drop it on Pat Leahy and Tom Daschle's office. You ever get it that it's never described as the anthrax that went to the Democrats? And day 800 in the search for Osama bin Laden. Very pleased this hour to have Congressman Bernie Sanders with us, my congressman from the great state of Vermont. Congressman Sanders, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Good to be with you, Tom.
Oh, good to have you here, Bernie. And if any of our listeners have questions for Bernie Sanders, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Bernie, let's talk for a minute about Medicare. In our chat room, in fact, we have a live chat room that goes on while we're on the air. And in our chat room, one of our members, I'm just going to have to scroll up here just a little bit. He says, I was thinking last night about how absolutely obscene it is, this is from Coach Glenn, that Americans don't have health care and have to pay through the nose for mostly mediocre coverage. We spend so much on defense, it'd be easy to throw out the current system. And if it, you know, he goes on. And then he says of the $400 billion for the new Medicare coverage, over $80 billion goes to executives and corporate profits. What's that about? Is that close to real numbers there?
Essentially, when we look at this new Medicare bill, and Tom, I think your listeners should know that this bill was passed at 5:30 in the morning on Saturday morning, November 22nd. And it was passed after 2 hours and 45 minutes of the Republican leadership keeping the rolls open. The vote in the House of Representatives is supposed to be 15 to 17 minutes. This particular vote was 3 hours. And the reason that it was 3 hours is we had the Republican leadership, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Tommy Thompson, on the floor, frantically running around looking for Republicans whose arms they could twist to get the vote for this obscene piece of legislation. And finally, after 3 hours, they found two guys, and they got their votes, and that is how they won. So that is an obscenity unto itself.
I find it just absolutely incredible. I mean, why did they wait till the last minute? Don't these guys have their act together when it comes to paying off people and pushing people around? And,
usually they do. I think in this case, they did not know how many Democrats would be voting for it, so they weren't sure. And you had a number of principled Republicans who were conservatives who argued that when the administration and the leadership were saying that this horrendous bill will cost $400 billion over a 10-year period, in fact, it will cost a whole lot more than that. And from their perspective, they didn't like the bill for that reason. There were other Republicans who I have worked with who voted against this bill because, for a very good reason, there is really no cost containment in addressing the absurdity of Americans having to pay by far the highest prices in the world for our medicine. In fact, if you can believe this, this is true. I know some of your listeners will think I am pulling, I'm not telling them the truth. There is language in it that says, in fact, that the United States government cannot negotiate with the industry to lower the cost of prescription drugs. That's how crazy and absurd this bill is.
And what really crisps my toast on this thing is I have seen no shortage of commentators on the television and heard them on radio saying, they put that in because we don't want to have price controls. I mean, they completely, utterly miss the distinction between price controls and negotiating.
Right. And some of us are not opposed to price controls. But here you have 40 million people in Medicare who are going to be receiving, I doubt that it will be 40 million, but many millions will receive their prescription drugs through this program. They have taken away the ability of the government to negotiate lower prices, which was obviously written by the pharmaceutical industry. That language was put in there by the industry, which essentially wrote the bill. But
so
this is even more important than that. What I want any senior who is listening to this program to understand is exactly what the benefits will be. Because after all is said and done, people say, well, what's in it for me? Which is a fair question. Let me just tell you, Tom, what's in it, all right? After you pay your $35 a month in premiums, after you pay your $250 in deductible, you will then pay 25% out of your own pocket for the first $251 to $2,250 in drug costs. Then, amazingly enough, there is going to be a gap, a donut hole, from between $2,250 to $5,100, in which you have to pay every single penny of that cost out of your own pocket.
Now, may I interrupt you here, Bernie, for a second?
Sure, mate.
What do you want to bet that within, well, of course, this doesn't go into effect until 2006, but as soon as it does, the AARP is going to be selling an insurance policy to fill that gap?
I won't take that bet because, of course, that will be the case.
Yeah.
Of course, that will be the case. The AARP is a huge company with clear special interests and conflicts of interest regarding this particular piece of legislation, and their role in this whole process has been an outrage. Bottom line is that if you're spending $1,000, if you have $1,000 a year of drug costs and you're a senior, you're going to pay 85% out of your own pocket. If you are spending $2,000 a year, you pay 55%. $5,000 a year, you pay 78%. That is a terrible benefit. And over the years, Tom, that benefit becomes worse because there is no cost containment. So by the time the year 2006 comes about, coincidentally after the presidential election, when this particular program goes into effect, drug costs are going to be much, much higher.
Yeah.
So seniors will be paying a higher percentage out of their own pockets.
Yeah, this is truly mind-boggling. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders here on the Tom Hartman Program. It's 15 minutes after the hour. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jeff in Denver's on the line with a question for Bernie. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom and Bernie.
Hey, John.
Our founding fathers were really intelligent in a lot of ways to me, and they realized we needed three branches of government and so forth to balance. However, in the political parties, we only have two, which, to me, ends up with a stalemate so often. And we would seem to need a third party in power to really help balance things. And I was wondering, have you ever thought about getting together with other incumbents? See, one of the problems with a lot of political parties is they end up being personality cults. And, you know, they have one figurehead. But what about a balanced party where people like, say, Lincoln Chafee, other people don't really fit in the Republicans? If you had like eight senators form a party, we'd suddenly have a party in power that wouldn't have to, you know, climb up the ladder. Have you ever thought about joining together with other incumbents to form another party?
Well, my history, Jeff, is a little bit different than most members of the United States Congress. I was elected in 1981 as mayor of Burlington, as the first independent in that city. And throughout my political career, I've defeated both Democrats and Republicans. And here in the state of Vermont, there is, in fact, a third political party called the Progressive Party. I am an independent, but there is a progressive party. I think when we talk about political parties, the question is, what do the parties stand for? You can have two parties, three parties, 58 parties, but the question is, who do they represent? I think the major crisis in American politics today is that half the people no longer vote. Low-income people don't vote. Many working people don't vote. And many people, the majority of the people, no longer believe that either political party is standing up for the middle class and working families of the country. And whether you do it through the Democratic Party or whether you do it through a third party, what I am trying to do, what I believe is most important, is to raise the voter turnout substantially, bring more working people and lower-income people into the political process, and have a political party which stands for ordinary people rather than the large multinationals. I think what we have in America today is a Republican Party, which has now become an extreme right-wing party owned by corporate America. You have a Democratic Party, which is a centrist party, which has some excellent members, really progressive Democrats, has some very conservative people, somewhere in the middle. But there's a huge gap out there on issue after issue in terms of who is standing up for working people, for the old, for the poor, for people who don't contribute huge sums of money into the political process.
Do you see yourself, Bernie, as playing a role in promoting a solution to that gap beyond the work that you're doing independently? In other words, are you encouraging any of the other parties? Or, for that matter, I mean, you know, John Stuart Mill invented proportional representation back in 1841. I mean, it was too late for the founders. Do you see any movement in the United States to move either toward proportional representation or toward instant runoff voting, either one of
them? Well,
Tom,
that's an excellent question. An excellent point, and of course there is a movement in Vermont and throughout this country. I believe San Francisco, if my memory is correct, has instituted that. And the importance of proportional representation is that people will not have to just vote for the lesser of two evils. In Europe, for example, you have the Green Party, which in many countries, if they receive more than 5% of the vote, will have representation in the parliaments of various countries. What happens in our country is people don't like the Republican, they don't like the Democrat, but they have to vote for the lesser of two evils. So proportional representation is an important step forward, I think, to giving people more political options.
Yeah. I'm wondering, along those same lines, we're seeing the elections in Ireland right now. And I don't want to get too far off topic. I know we wanted to talk about health care here, and I want to get back to it, but just real quickly. And it looks like what's happening is that Ireland is becoming more polarized. More and more people, more of the Catholics are voting for the IRA, more of the Protestants are voting for the Orange candidate, forget the name of the party. And I'm wondering if you think that that's a result of those two groups having moderated their positions and become more mainstream and more acceptable, or is the situation getting more dangerous there?
I'm just not knowledgeable enough about Ireland to give you a good answer about that one.
Okay. I was just curious. With regard to the pharmaceutical companies, I have a document here that says that the average, the pharmaceutical companies contributed an average of $28,500 to the 204 Republicans who supported the bill, and only $8,000 to the 25 Republicans who opposed it. It almost seems like this thing was set up at the beginning. We've only got about 30 seconds here before we've got to take a break, but your thoughts
on that?
Tom,
what your listeners should know is that the pharmaceutical industry is the most powerful lobby in the United States of America. And it's not only their campaign contributions, it's their lobbying. They have over 650 paid lobbyists. It's the huge amounts of money they spend on advertising. They are an extremely powerful and dangerous organization that is working very hard against the average American consumer.
Yeah, well said. Congressman Bernie Sanders with us here on the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From Cheyenne to Chicago, from Buffalo to Bismarck, more cold engines in more cold places start with Heat. Heat Gasoline Antifreeze, America's number one brand for fast cold weather starts. From the Great Plains to the Great Lakes, from the Rocky Mountains to the rocky coast of Maine, whatever state of cold you're in, Heat removes water and prevents gasoline freeze-up. Heat Gasoline Antifreeze. Cold engines start with Heat.
Dermarest, the psoriasis solution, asks,
what's complete freedom? For me, it's an open road with the top down. It's my bare arms getting warmed by the sun. It's my bare arms without a trace of psoriasis.
Complete freedom, brought to you by the complete relief of Dermarest psoriasis. Unlike brands which only relieve itching and inflammation, Dermarest psoriasis also removes the embarrassing scales, allowing healthy skin to grow.
Healthy skin? That's complete freedom.
Dermarest, the psoriasis solution.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Show.
Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troops' lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you say they say? said, or is this what they had stated in a policy? This is what they said. Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I don't want millions, mister. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the right to live, mister. Won't you give me back my job again?
Helping you win the water cooler wars. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking this hour with Congressman Bernie Sanders, independent from Vermont. If you'd like to call, if you have a question for Congressman Sanders, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Bernie, I'm wondering what is the best way for people to influence members of Congress if people have a concern about an issue, and particularly what's the best way to influence a member of Congress who disagrees with your position?
Well, Tom, I think that the vast majority of the people in this country who are upset about what's going on haven't a clue in terms of responding to that question. So I'll give you some advice. For a start,
great.
Why don't you get a few of your friends, get 5 or 10 people or more, and say to the member of Congress, we would like to come into your district office. They're not in Washington all the time. Most members of Congress come back to their districts on Mondays, on Fridays. There are long breaks. And say, we, 10 of us, or 15 of us, want to sit down and talk to you. And we want to work out a good time for you. And if you don't have the time for us, don't come back to us on Election Day asking for your vote. In other words, people have got to be a lot more aggressive in demanding their democratic rights. That's number one. And I think most importantly, have that member come in and talk to you. Have them come to your schools if you're in school. They will come. Members of Congress, like everybody in politics, wants votes. And if they know that people are unhappy, they're going to respond. That's the most effective way. Confront the person, get them in the room. Obviously, petitions work very well. Handwritten letters work well. Emails work well. MoveOn.com has done a very good job in flooding Capitol Hill with millions of emails, which have an effect on the process.
Yeah, great. And what about sending emails to your member of Congress or calling the switchboard at 202-224-3121 and getting passed?
Absolutely. That really works.
Well,
when people come into their office and somebody comes and says, gee, we've got 500 emails today on this issue, then members of Congress know that people are paying attention. Essentially, Tom, the way the system works is that most members of Congress, I think most elected officials, prefer that people not pay attention to the most important issues.
Yeah.
Therefore, they get surrounded by big money interests. They get surrounded by people who make campaign contributions. And the less the people know, the less the people are involved, the better is the situation. And to reinvigorate democracy, to make government work for ordinary people, we've got to move in exactly the opposite direction. And people have got to stand up, begin to fight back. It's been said a million times, but democracy is not a spectator sport. And your member of Congress, by the way, is a lot more accessible than you think he or she is.
Yeah. Some years ago, when he was still alive, I interviewed Dave Powers, who was Jack Kennedy's right-hand man, and worked with him when he was a United States senator. And he said that Jack Kennedy always read the letters to the editor before he read any other part of the newspaper
right.
throughout his political career.
That's right.
Another good strategy.
Yeah, and what is really of great concern now is we have a country where half the people don't vote, people have given up, and that falls right into the hands. That is exactly what the people who own this country want to see. They want to see people give up. They want to see people not vote. And then what happens is you have elections where big money plays an enormous role, where the working people of this country don't vote, don't get involved. And that is exactly what the Republican leadership wants. You know, you don't hear. The president talks about a whole lot of things. You don't really hear him talking too much about the need for ordinary people to get out and vote. Have you heard him talk about that?
No, I haven't, actually.
You don't hear him say, gee, isn't it awful that the United States has the lowest voter turnout of any major country on earth, and we're going to remedy that. We want to go from 50% to 80%. We want low-income people. We want working people to vote. You don't hear him talking about that. You know why? They don't want ordinary people to vote.
Yeah, in fact, the closest he gets to it is saying we're gonna control the voting machines through our corporate buddies. But that's a whole other topic. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders, Milton in Santa Fe, Leland in Santa Fe on the line. Hang on, we'll pick up your calls just on the other side of this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The Con and Conservative. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Extreme close-ups of nature's family relationships may not show the whole picture. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The scientific tree of life is much like a big family tree. It shows how different species are related. This idea has been around for more than 250 years, but the tree of life keeps changing. New findings allow scientists to rearrange branches, or at least some of the twigs. For example, researchers have been looking at small parts of an organism's genetic makeup called ribosomal RNA, but that might be too narrow a focus. Jonathan Eisen, a biologist at the Institute for Genomic Research in Rockville, Maryland, is using a relatively new approach that takes a broader view. Eisen studies all the genetic material in bacteria to determine how different species are related.
If we look at the entire genetic content of different bacteria and ask how are all of the genes related to all of the genes from another bacteria, do we get the same answer that people got by studying a single gene, this ribosomal RNA? And can we use this study of the whole genome to get a more precise picture of how bacteria are related to each other and how the history of bacteria occurred over time?
Eisen says the organism Microsporidia is an example. It was thought to be an unusual parasite related to humans and plants.
More recently, someone has sequenced the whole genome of one of these organisms, and analyzing all of the proteins from the genome of this organism, people have come to the conclusion that, in fact, this is a fungi. It's nothing unusual at all. The ribosomal RNA gene from this organism was what was unusual.
Gaining a more accurate understanding of nature's linkages has real-world applications. For example, doctors can now use drugs designed to treat fungal diseases to fight Microsporidia infections. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune in to tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, some people think that unions are too strong. Union leaders should go back where they belong. But I wish that they could see a little more poverty, and they might start to sing a different song. Well, let's look at old Kentucky for a while. It is hard to find a miner who will smile. Well, the Constitution's fine, but it's hard reading in the mines. And when welfare stops, trouble starts to pile. Well, mining is a hazard in Hazard, Kentucky. And if you ain't mining there, well, my friend, you're awful lucky. Because if you don't get silicosis...
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. In our program, on our program in this hour, we have Congressman Bernie Sanders, independent from Vermont, the great state of Vermont. And Congressman Sanders, we have a couple of callers here. Milton in Santa Fe first has called 1-800-TALK-YES. Thank you for calling, Milton. Welcome to the program. What's up?
Thank you. Well, I wanted to talk to Congressman Sanders about an issue regarding the pharmaceutical companies, and that is that the FDA seems to only... to work on pharmaceuticals when there are so many alternative solutions to a lot of the problems, a lot less expensive, work without all of the dastardly contraindications that they're listed on the back of an ad. Some of those things read like a Stephen King novel, and yet they don't ever examine anything other than pharmaceutical companies. I, for one, and I don't want to sound like a commercial, but I, for one, I'm a diabetic. I'm 75 years old. A year and a half ago, they were ready to put me on insulin. I'm taking a non-invasive product that's a food supplement. I haven't taken a pill. I feel like a third, you know, but you couldn't get the FDA to even take a look at something, despite the fact that there's probably 4.5 inches of medical tests and clinical tests are all proven that this stuff works, and I'm sure.
I bet you're talking about bitter melon. Excuse me, Milton. I'm sorry.
Sure, I'm sure there are lots of other things out there that do the same thing for other conditions. And why doesn't the FDA at least have some body looking at solutions that other people have come up with that are not pharmaceutically developed?
Yeah, Bernie, bitter melon is an herb that's widely available in health food stores that really does change blood sugar. I mean, I have personal experience with it, and as does Milton. I'm assuming that that's what he's taking. Why is it? Why not look at some of these other things? I lived in Germany for a year, and they prescribe herbs.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And what we're seeing, interestingly enough, Milton, is that despite the attitude of the federal government in general, not just the FDA, is that more and more people are looking at complementary medicine or so-called alternative medicine in leaps and bounds. And that has not only to do with herbs, that has to do with acupuncture, it has to do with chiropractic medicine, it has to do with meditation, it has to do with many, many other things. The federal government did start as a result of some grassroots pressure, an Office of Alternative Medicine, but they are by no means getting the kind of support that they should. And I think the United States is far behind much of the rest of the world in looking at complementary type medicines, which have certainly fewer side effects and are less expensive. I think the answer to why that is fairly obvious, and that is, as we mentioned excuse me, earlier, the pharmaceutical industry is extraordinarily powerful, has spent hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in recent years to prop up their profits. So I think they are not terribly anxious to have the federal government look at any approach which is less expensive than the pharmaceuticals that they sell.
Yeah, although, you know, it's interesting, when I lived in Germany, if they prescribed an herb to you, I remember a doctor prescribing echinacea to our daughter when she had the flu. And it came from, it was either Breon or Bayer. It was one of the big, you know, huge multinational pharmaceutical companies was making these tablets of this herbal remedy. They don't do it here because they can't patent it? Is that why?
I suspect so. But I think the bottom line on all of this has to do with money.
Yeah, it's unfortunately. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. You would think that government, I mean, if we have a government of, by, and for we the people, that it should be looking after we the people rather than they, the multinational corporations.
You know, Tom, on that issue, this whole issue of diet, now there's great concern about the growing rate of obesity in the United States. We're still not clear, despite the zillions of dollars being spent on it, what constitutes a good diet.
Yeah.
So there are many, many areas where the United States government, in terms of disease prevention, preventative health, is doing far, far less than we should.
Yeah, absolutely. Leland in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Leland, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Question for Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, I just heard that Max Cleland was moved from the independent, so-called independent 911 commission to the Export-Import Bank, and he was the only person I had noticed who spoke out of that, on the commission, who spoke strongly about the problem of the non-release of documents from the Bush White House. And I was wondering how you felt about the progress of the 911 commission and why it hasn't been funded or given a mandate to take as long as it needs to establish the facts.
Well, I think you know what the answer is. The answer is that the Bush administration is one of the most secretive administrations in American history, very reluctant to give up information, and on an issue as important as understanding all of what happened on 9/11 and the causes for it, it is absolutely an outrage that they're not coming forward with that information. So, you know, it's a prevailing pattern, whether it is who they talk to about energy policy or anything else. These guys do not want information to come forward. Now, I can't tell you what's in that secret information. I don't know. But I think the American people have a right to know. We certainly have a right to know everything that we should about the possible role that elements in Saudi Arabia may have played in 9/11 and everything else.
I saw that there was a RICO lawsuit that was filed against George Bush. I think it was just released day before yesterday. And the National Lawyers Guild has called for his impeachment. I mean, do you see any of this getting traction in the media?
No, and I think impeachment is not a useful political goal. You have Dick Cheney as the president. The political goal now is to organize strongly at the grassroots level to defeat George Bush. Impeachment is not important to me. But I think that you have an administration which is extremely right-wing, an administration which is working day and night with large corporate interests against the needs of the American people. You have a media. You talked about the media, Tom, and I know you and I have talked about our deep concern to the degree that talk radio, with very few exceptions, and your show being one of them, is dominated by extreme right-wing elements. We have talked about the fact that your large networks are owned by large multinational corporations. The truth is that many of the most important issues facing ordinary Americans get very, very little discussion in the media. It's not just that it's right-wing, it's that some of the most important aspects of our lives get very rarely talked about. The growing gap between the rich and the poor, the corporate control over America, the fact that we're the only country in the industrialized world without a national health care program. How often do we hear the advantages of trade unionism in terms of wages and benefits? How often do we hear serious discussions on the serious issues that face the American people? So the media and corporate control over the media is an issue that we've got to struggle with. It's tough in terms of getting alternative ideas out to people that they have not heard before.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. We have a business section of the paper, a business report every day, but no labor section. I remember when I was a kid growing up in Michigan, there were two papers published in Detroit. Actually, there were several published in Lansing where I grew up, but in Detroit, it was the Detroit News and the Detroit Free Press, and one was the Democrat paper and one was the Republican paper, more or less, or one was the pro-labor and the other was the pro-business. And now there's only one newspaper. I mean, it's just...
It is incredibly dangerous for democracy when you have so few large corporations controlling what we see, hear, and read. I'll give just one example of what really concerns me. If you look at what's happened in the American economy over the last 30 years, going back to 1973, what you find is that today, despite the explosion of productivity, of technology, by which every American worker is producing a hell of a lot more than was the case back then, you would think that that average American would be working fewer hours and would be making more money. Is that right?
Yeah, but
if I gave you a tool to make you much more productive, the thought would be you'd be working fewer hours and earning more wealth. But in fact, the converse is true. The average American today is working incredibly long hours. We now work the longest hours of any country in the industrialized world. Very few middle-class families can have one breadwinner in the family, and almost all of them need two. People are working crazy hours. How often do we discuss that issue? Do you hear much about that?
Yeah. No, it's like it's invisible. Let's bring Paul in Detroit in on this discussion. Paul, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK. Yes, welcome to the Tom Hartman program with Bernie Sanders.
Hello, I'll be quick. Hello, Representative Bernie Sanders. On October the 2nd, the New York Times reported that a group of U.S. corporations headed by Eli Lilly and Merck, and also Republicans on the U.S. Senate Finance Committee, were working to allow a whole slew of American companies to move $300 billion out of their Bahamian offshore accounts into the United States. That's from foreign profits. If they could move the $300 billion of the $406 billion that they've accumulated there into the United States, if the IRS would give them a tax holiday. Any comment?
Yeah, I think it's absurd to be giving a tax holiday for companies that run away from the United States and hide in Bahamas in order not to pay their taxes. What has happened in the last several decades is that corporate taxes have gone substantially down in terms of the percentage of revenue they are bringing into the Treasury, and that is one of the reasons that we have the huge kind of deficit that we have today. It is a scandal that corporations are not only throwing millions of workers out on the street as they go to China and other low-wage countries, it is an equal scandal that these same guys are running to Bahamas and elsewhere to avoid paying their taxes. They don't have to be rewarded for avoiding paying their taxes. They've got to be told that they have to pay their taxes.
Yeah, and they're users of the commons. I mean, they are using the public streets. They're using our education system to provide them with an educated workforce. They are absolutely using the commons of the United States. They're using our water, our septic, our police, our fire, and yet they say they don't want to pay their tax. Here in Vermont, we even have a situation now where one of the largest corporations in the state just said that they don't want to pay their electric bill. And so the electric bills of consumers are going up. This from our new tip from our Republican governor here that we just got.
Well, I think, the untold story of the last 30 years is not only the irresponsibility, but the lack of patriotism on the part of corporate America, which is prepared to do anything that it can in terms of Enron against their own stockholders, in terms of almost every major corporation in America against their own workers, against the taxpayers of this country. If they can make more money for their top CEOs, and these guys make out like bandits, the average CEO now makes over 500 times more than the average American worker, these guys will go to China, they'll go to the Bahamas, they'll go to any place they can in order to screw the average American, and I think we've got to deal with that reality.
And how do you think we should best deal with it?
Well, ultimately what you need in this country is a revitalization of democracy. You need a political revolution in which the government, for a change, starts representing the interests of ordinary people rather than the rich and multinationals. If you look, as I do, because that's where I work in Washington, D.C., and you see the legislation that comes up almost every day, this is legislation such as the Medicare bill, which is pushed by insurance companies and the pharmaceutical industries, or it's legislation that is pushed by the credit card companies and the banks. Where is the legislation that will guarantee health care to every man, woman, and child through a national health care program like virtually every other industrialized country has? Where is that legislation? Where is the legislation that would make sure that every young person in this country has the opportunity to go to college, as exists in many other industrialized countries? Where is the legislation to raise the minimum wage? We've got a $5.15 an hour minimum wage. That is a national disgrace. There has not been one iota of discussion on the part of the Republican leadership of raising that minimum wage. Where is the legislation to reverse our disastrous trade policy? which has cost us millions of jobs as companies go to China and hire people at 20 cents an hour. They don't even talk about these issues. These are non-issues. And they're non-issues because they only affect working people, the middle class. The issues that they do discuss are the issues that represent the needs of corporations.
Yeah, and we must get involved in these things. We must get active. What are the things we talked just before the last break? And we've got about 2 minutes here left in the show here. What are the things that you would suggest that people do to get active beyond? You know, we talked about contacting your representatives. Beyond that, where should people go with these things?
First thing that progressives, now I speak to progressives, have got to know is you're going to have to start talking to people who don't agree with you on every single issue.
There you go.
You disagree with me on the abortion issue. I can't talk to you. That's nonsense. On the basic economic issues facing this country, health care for all, raising the minimum wage, a fair trade policy, corporate control over the media, almost the vast majority of the people agree with us. So I think what we've got to do is, A, register people to vote. We've got to change the political culture. You don't like what's going on in Iraq, and people say, well, I demonstrated against it. Well, that's fine. But you also have got to understand who makes those decisions, who is in Congress, who is in the White House. If you're concerned about Iraq, you've got to be concerned with day-to-day politics. You've got to reach out to people, bring them into the political process. You've got to become more aggressive with your members of Congress, as I mentioned earlier. Get on the phone. Ask for a meeting. Don't be shy about it. Be polite. Be respectful. Members of Congress have busy schedules. But tell them you want to talk to them about the issues that affect your lives.
Yeah, well said. Bernie, if you can stick around over this commercial break, I have one more question I'd like to ask you.
Absolutely.
Before you go. And we'll have 3 minutes at the top of the hour, just before the top of the hour. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free, 1-800-205-7067, or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067, or populist.com, or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
The following conversation is real. It took place on July 1st, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Emergency, this is Maria.
I'm on a highway where a tree has fallen, and I'm afraid that if somebody's not notified, it's going to cause an accident.
Okay, I'll contact the emergency services.
Police department.
This is Maria with OnStar Emergency, and I've got an emergency to report on the U.S. Highway 29.
Whatever the emergency, if you need to get in touch with local authorities, an OnStar advisor can connect you.
Mrs. Watson, I do have emergency services on the line.
Ms. Watson, this is the police.
Hi, a tree has fallen across Highway 29.
OnStar is available on 51 GM models. See the OnStar documentary during November on the Discovery Channel, HGTV, the Food Network, or the Learning Channel. Check OnStar.com for times.
Mrs. Watson, I do want to thank you for calling this in.
You're welcome.
Please know that we are here whenever you need us. Okay?
I know. I love you guys.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
An email here from Jamie. Jamie has a great idea. He was listening to the program and heard the Brett Bercy segment. Our friend down in South Carolina who was arrested outside a Bush campaign speech. Jamie says, I have an idea for getting close to Bush with protest signs. Make a sign that says, impeach Bush, or something of that nature, one word above the other. And then have a strip of paper that is the same color as the sign's background. On this strip of paper, you print something like re-elect. Lightly stick re-elect over impeach. Carry this sign to the Bush event, and after you are safely surrounded by pro-Bush hordes, remove the re-elect portion of the sign and hold it up.
We love Bush. We love Bush. We love Bush.
Impeach Bush.
Huh? You didn't know I'm going to say that, did you?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The Mississippi Delta was shining like a national guitar. I am following the river down the highway through the cradle of the Civil War.
And welcome back to the radio support group of By and For We the People. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders, independent of Vermont. Bernie, you've got quite a fan club in our chat room here. We've got people just going on and on about Bernie Sanders, a good person. He makes a fine politician, too, and it's really quite remarkable. In the just two and a half minutes that we've got here in the last segment, I wanted you to address, if you would, please, despair. I am hearing from so many people. Both calling this program and in emails and even just this kind of general sense in like op-eds on Common Dreams and whatnot, that they think that all is lost. And I keep saying, yeah, well, I don't want to say what I'm saying.
Let me just jump in.
What are your thoughts on that?
We do not have the luxury of despair.
There you go.
And in fact, despair is precisely what the people who own this country and have the power want you to feel. They don't want you to fight back. Now, I have the advantage over most of the listeners because I go out and I talk to zillions of people in my own state of Vermont. Occasionally, I get around the country. And I want people to hear this. Progressive viewpoints, in my view, and I think I'm right on this, are in fact held by the vast majority of the people. People want health care for all. They don't want the disgrace of having the highest rate of childhood poverty in the industrialized world. People have huge concerns. And if we become laden down with despair and give up, Tom DeLay and George Bush go laughing all the way to the bank. Now, I think, in fact, what we have got to do, as I mentioned earlier, we've got to change our mindsets. And what we have got to do is know that with the vast majority of the people on our side, our job must be to organize those folks and educate those people, and it can be done. I have absolute confidence that it can be done. I get angry at people. Say, oh, I went to a demonstration, man. Nothing happened. I'm burnt out. I'm giving up. That's crap. If you take this stuff seriously, if you really want to fight for your country, you want to make this country the best country in the world, you want to reverse all the absurdities that we currently have, you're going to have to work hard at that. And it's not going to happen overnight. You know, we had slavery in this country, which we overcame. We had the terrible treatment of American Indians that we went through, Native Americans. We have had horrendous poverty during the Depression. People have got to stand up and fight. You cannot afford despair.
Well said. Congressman Bernie Sanders, thank you so much for being on the program.
My pleasure, Tom. Good to be with you.
This is Tom Hartman with the IE America Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush may have surprised a lot of people with his 2.5-hour trip to Baghdad International Airport on Thanksgiving, but many in the media are questioning the White House's methods. The extraordinary steps the White House took to conceal Mr. Bush's whereabouts were undertaken primarily to ensure his safety, his aides said yesterday. But several of the editors, news directors, and producers responsible for directing coverage of the Bush administration said that they found aspects of the White House strategy to be deceptive, excessively secretive, and disruptive of the relationship between writer and editor. One editor objected to a briefing a White House spokeswoman gave to reporters in Crawford early Wednesday afternoon, announcing that Bush would be spending Thanksgiving at his ranch. To Philip Taubman, Washington bureau chief of the New York Times, that briefing appeared to constitute, quote, deliberate deception. Soldiers with the Army's 3rd Infantry Division charged into Iraq in April short of the ammunition their commanders had said was necessary to invade, according to a post-war evaluation of the fighting. It was one of a number of supply problems encountered by the 3rd Infantry before and during its 21-day dash to Baghdad from Kuwait. During the run-up to the war, division commanders requested additional ammunition be delivered to frontline units. The request was approved, but the troops could not obtain all the ordnance despite months of war preparation. A former Iraqi general died while under American interrogation, the U.S. military said Thursday. An air defense general captured October 5th in a raid near the Syrian border was being questioned Wednesday while in American custody in Qaim near the Syrian border when he lost consciousness after complaining he didn't feel well. He was pronounced dead by a U.S. military physician. The cause of death and interrogation techniques are under investigation, but Malhoush's head was not hooded during questioning, the 82nd Airborne said. More news after this.
I'm a good driver. I look for cars. I pay attention. I should have seen the little girl in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them.
Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Petite Sonia Thomas wolfed down 7¾ pounds of holiday food in 12 minutes on Wednesday to defeat a pair of 400-pound rivals and win the Thanksgiving Invitational Eating Contest. The 106-pound Thomas of Alexandria, Virginia, devoured massive helpings of yams, green beans, cranberry sauce, and turducken, a turkey stuffed with duck, chicken, and sausage, to win the event. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
It's time to venture again into the far, far, far out frontiers of free enterprise. Today, Spaceship Hightower takes you for another spin around the wondrous world of truth in advertising, with Consumer Reports magazine being our chief guide. First, let's stop by the galaxy of incredibly shrinking packages, always a fun way for companies to jack up prices in the hope that consumers won't notice. Got a new baby? Maybe you like to use Pampers newborn swaddlers diapers. What you won't like is that the maker, Procter & Gamble, has quietly cut the number of swaddlers per package from 48 to 40. Yet you pay the same price to get less product, a sneaky 17% price hike. Likewise, Wegmans Supermarket downsized its yogurt cup from 8 ounces to 6. But instead of trying to hide the change, Wegmans label actually brags about the ripoff, declaring in happy red type, smaller size, bigger taste, same price. Then there are some product promises that make you go, huh? Procter & Gamble, for example, has a new man's body wash sold under its Old Spice label. It's apparently meant for those sweaty times when men might feel that more than plain old soap is needed. Yet the label makes a bold promise that most of us wouldn't think necessary. Won't wash away testosterone. Many come-ons require attention to the small print, such as the ad for a chain of clubs called 24-Hour Fitness. Then, in tiny type, you learn, not all clubs open 24 hours. There's also Marriott Hotels, which puts a bottle of spring water in your room, saying, please enjoy. But the small print says, it'll cost you $4.50. This is Jim Hightower saying, the prize for the No Fooling Award, however, goes to a swimming pool supply company that offers this hot deal. Buy first item at double normal price, get the second identical item absolutely free.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, friends. It's Friday. It's 8 minutes after the hour. Oh, 7 minutes, I guess, and 15 seconds after the hour. And if you want to call and talk about pretty much anything, you're welcome to. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. The
how does globalization promote war and violence? I wanted to get into that topic. There's a bunch of interesting things here. I just want to start out with our Caught You Doing Something Right award. We have always been of the philosophy that the best way to encourage people to do things is to encourage them to do things rather than to slap them when they don't. So here we go. An Idaho diner marks 14 years of dishing up a free Thanksgiving feast. People started lining up for Thanksgiving dinner before 10 a.m. at Chuck Quillen's place. This is a three-mile cafe in Bonn, Idaho, 35 kilometers south of the British Columbia border. It's basically a truck stop. And he says anybody who walks in, they get a free meal. He says he can probably feed enough 500 people. This was in a telephone interview during the middle of the day yesterday, Thanksgiving. And he's been doing it every year. He's got a lot of people who show up as regulars, but a lot of people just stop thinking they're pulling into a truck stop. And they walk in and boom, free food. The only requirement is you've got to sit with somebody. All the table, every chair at every table has to be used. And people come in and they get caught totally off guard. He thinks that's just great. He says, whether you have or have not doesn't even enter into it. It's something where you give back. Quillen doesn't eat until dinner until the last guest is served, and he has never run out of food. So good on you. Strange stories in the news. I don't know if you've been following the politics in South Korea. One day after the leader of the opposition started a hunger strike, one of his colleagues protested by starting his own hunger strike. This is South Korea's mounting crisis over a political funding scandal took a bizarre turn yesterday. This is from Reuters in Seoul. When a pro-government politician said he was on a hunger strike to protest against the opposition party chief's own fast. The head of South Korea's main opposition, Grand National Party, Cho Byung-lol, stopped eating on Wednesday, saying he would start only again if President Roh Moo-hyun lifted a veto on Parliament's bid to name a special investigative council. And he goes on to say, my hunger protest against Cho will last one day more than Cho's, said Kim. Both men are drinking water but not eating. It'd be interesting. Can you imagine if Tom DeLay and Tom Daschle went on a hunger fast against each other? I'm not going to go there. Anyhow, it would be interesting. We have also this hour a Berlusconi alert. Yes, indeed, the national anthem of Italy there. Silvio Berlusconi, you will remember, is the man who, as a small-time crook and businessman, started a couple of small businesses, started a radio station, bought another radio station, bought a television station, bought another television station, ended up owning all the radio and TV networks in Italy and most of the newspapers. The only thing he doesn't own in the media is the state-run media, their equivalent of BBC. And I say that by way of letting you know what could happen. I mean, this is the ultimate con job, the ultimate conservative. This is the conservative dream. The conservative paradise is Italy under Berlusconi. Well, it gets even stranger than that, friends. In Italy under Berlusconi, the man who owns all the radio, TV stations, and most of the newspapers, many of the newspapers. Yesterday, well, it was in today's paper, actually, in The Guardian, Alessandra Mussolini, the granddaughter of the Italian dictator, left the country's far-right party yesterday, claiming its leader was betraying his memory. His being Mussolini's. Do you get this? Mussolini's granddaughter is a member of parliament in Italy. It was Mussolini who invented the word fascism to as a definition of a new form of what he thought was a new form of government. It was actually a very old form of government. It was called feudalism in the old days, which was rule by the rich. And when the rich started using the instrument of corporations rather than owning property and serfs on it, I mean, it's the reinvention of the same thing. or a variation on the same theme. And Berlusconi said, you know, government itself just isn't strong enough to have a one-party state, to have absolute rule, and to have stability. And so his suggestion was, let's merge government and business, corporate and government interests, into one group. And then you'll have a bundle of sticks with a rope tied around it and an axe sticking out of the top called a fasce. The individual sticks are the fasce. Or maybe it's the bundle of them. I don't remember. But anyhow, this is called the fasce. And it was the symbol of the Roman emperors, the Caesars, way back when. And Berlusconi said, you know, if you pull together government and corporations, you will have a force that nobody can resist. And he named it corporatism, and then later on in his career, he renamed it fascism. So now his granddaughter is upset. Because the National Alliance, the second biggest group, the second largest political party in Silvio Berlusconi's coalition government, is having an internal battle. Gianfranco Fini appalled many of his followers by denouncing fascism and its founder. His intention appeared to be to clear the way for a broad center-right movement which would eventually take the place of Mr. Berlusconi's coalition. So now what you have in Italy is a power struggle over who gets to inherit the party that Mussolini started and that his granddaughter is still a member of. Mr. Fini said fascism was an utter evil, that Mussolini's 1938 anti-Jewish laws were disgraceful, and that the Republic of Salo, the puppet regime that he held on behalf of the Nazis between 43 and 45, was shameful. And yesterday, Mr. Fini went farther. This is the guy who's the head of the extreme right-wing party. And declared that anti-fascism was a value shared by all, even by us. Well, Mr. Berlusconi disagreed. Berlusconi, the prime minister, recently stood up for Mussolini by saying the dictator, who had sent more than 6,000 Jews to their deaths in Nazi concentration camps, quote, never killed anyone, end quote. And now Ms. Mussolini, Alessandra Mussolini, is departing her party, breaking with Mr. Fini, apparently to join up with Mr. Berlusconi. So Italian politics, stranger by the minute. Stranger by the minute. Do you see where Joan Jett is running in New York as a Dean delegate? Joan Jett, the rock star. Does Howard Dean love rock and roll? He better, or he may hear from one of his potential national convention delegates, says Mark Humbert, the AP political writer, in an article yesterday. Joan Jett running in New York as Dean delegate. A slate of convention delegate candidates from New York made public Wednesday by the Dean presidential campaign includes Joan Jett, whose 1981 song with the Blackhearts, I Love Rock and Roll, has become a rock anthem. If she's elected in New York's March 2nd presidential primary, Jett would go to the Democratic National Convention next summer as a Dean delegate. How cool. Or interesting, or whatever. Corporateering of the Year Award goes to Medicare Profiteering Protections. This from the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights. Jamie Court, the author of Corporateering, How Corporate Power Steals Your Personal Freedom and What You Can Do About It, points out a few of these little details. The pharmaceutical companies, as Bernie mentioned in the last hour, pharmaceutical companies got a law passed that it's now against the law for the government, not the government generally, because the Department of Defense does negotiate with pharmaceutical companies right now. The Department of Defense does go in and say, listen, we're going to need 40 million tablets of, well, these days probably Valium, but we're going to need 40,000 tablets of penicillin. And, you know, what's your price? Or 40 million tablets of penicillin. Well, how much? And the drug company says, well, you know, 3 cents a tablet. And the Department of Defense says, we'd rather pay 2.5 cents, so we'll buy them elsewhere. You know, in other words, they can negotiate. But the Medicare, the Office of Medicare, is now forbidden by law from trying to negotiate with drug suppliers. They have to take whatever price the pharmaceutical companies come up with. Did you get that? They have to take whatever price. Now, the 204 Republicans who supported the bill received an average of $28,504 in donations from the pharmaceutical industry, as opposed to only $8,000 from the 25 Republicans who opposed it. Among the Democrats, of the 189 Democrats who voted no, they raised an average $11,791 from the pharmaceutical companies, whereas the 16 Democrats who voted yes on the bill raised an average of $16,296 each. This, to me, seems very cheap. I mean, it's incredible. Pharmaceutical industry was able to buy congressmen. The highest price paid, well, we don't know the highest price. The average highest price was for the Republicans who supported the bill, the 204 of them, and that's $28,000 a person. $28,504 for 204 Republicans. They invest a few thousand, a few 10,000, they invest a million, they invest a little here, a little there, and what do they get back? They get back billions. Billions. This is a $400 billion bill. And you've got AARP out there spending $7 million to get this thing promoted. And then here's the kicker, the hospitals. $26.6 billion is going to hospitals in this bill. Who is leading the charge? Senator Bill Frist. His family founded the hospital chain Columbia HCA, which the government prosecuted for massive billing fraud. USA Today reported that U.S. Senate disclosure statements show that Frist owned as much as $25 million in company stock. His wife has more than $1 million in stock. In total, the company now called HCA will pay more than $1.7 billion in civil and criminal penalties, the largest amount ever in a health care fraud case. This guy runs a company that defrauds the government, convicted of the crime, and he's leading the charge. This is outrageous. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
The following conversation is real. It took place on April 1st, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Jeff.
I would like to activate my phone.
All right, now it looks like it has been activated. And are you familiar how to make a call?
No.
All right, let me explain it to you. Whenever you get ready to place a call, there's a white dot button.
Right, it's got a green light flashing right now.
Yeah, right beside it. Whenever you get ready to place a call, you'll press that button, and the system's going to say OnStar ready. You're going to say the word dial.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free, voice-activated cellular phone built into OnStar-equipped vehicles. So if your cell phone is forgotten, out of range, or has a low battery, you'll have the backup you need to make and receive important calls from the road just in case. Many Chevrolet cars and trucks are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. OnStar Personal Calling is available in most markets. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com.
I think that's it for now till I see how I like it. My brother's got it. He said, don't you dare buy a vehicle without it.
Good to hear.
Thank you so much.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your
your risk-free trial of Ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again, yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Oh, what a great song for a Friday afternoon. Welcome back. Speaking from behind the good old working class stainless steel microphone, high up in the green mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont. Speaking from our Athenwood studio, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Some experts foresee revolt by elderly over drug benefits. This according to the New York Times. But actually, before I get to that, I want to just play this little clip here. Bill Frist, basically, you have to understand the worldview of this guy. Here's this the multimillionaire who owns this chain of hospitals. Hospitals, of course, are going to get billions of dollars, billions and billions, with Bs, you know, thousands of millions of dollars under this health care bill. And here's Bill Frist's perspective on Medicare. Just see it.
And it is only fair to everybody to say that if a person has no income coming in because they happen to be retired and living only on a Social Security retirement plan, but that if that person has money in stocks,
hang on just a second here. Now you just have to get this. He's trying to see the whole idea of Medicare. First of all, goes against the grain of most cons. They want you to be absolutely at the mercy of corporations. Absolutely, beg, grovel, sell your house, you know, and the corporations should be able to say, hey, you're not profitable. We're not going to insure you. And just do whatever they want. And have, you know, human trash heaps, essentially. So, I mean, this is the con philosophy. Cheap labor, use them up, burn them out, and then dispose of them. Humans? We don't need those thinking humans. But then he's got this Medicare bill that, you know, they're trying to sell on the idea of, well, you know, let's take care of people. Let's take care of people. So he says, well, it's only fair that we take care of people. But then he says, but if they have any assets at all, we got to suck them dry first. We've got to absolutely suck them dry first. Just listen to it, you know, as he continues.
Money in stocks or has a vacation home of some substance in Florida, or other assets, they ought to be taken into consideration to make sure we have sufficient funds to take care of the truly neediest. So this is a very, very serious lesson.
Yeah. In other words, Medicare, this is the whole means testing thing. I mean, either this was the argument before when Social Security was started. I mean, either we are creating a national insurance program, as it were, where everybody participates, everybody pays into it, and everybody shares in the risk. Or we're going to create a system where we say, okay, we're going to take care of some people, and other people, they can choose not to participate. And what's going to happen is the rich are going to say, no, I don't think I'm going to participate in that. And then what's going to happen to the program? The program's going to go down the tubes. And then they're going to say, see, told you so. That was a bad program. As it dies. And the core, the key to maintaining democracy in America is maintaining a strong middle class. And when you wipe people out because they can't afford to pay their medical bills, when you wipe people out because they can't afford to pay for their pharmaceuticals, when you wipe them out because 30 years of inflation as a result of deficit spending in the Reagan administration and now the inflation that is coming, you mark my words, big time inflation is coming in the next 3 years. That inflation drives people up into higher tax brackets, makes their savings worth less, makes their income worth less, makes their pensions worth less. Yeah. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Friday afternoon, this is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Extreme close-ups of nature's family relationships may not show the whole picture. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The scientific tree of life is much like a big family tree. It shows how different species are related. This idea has been around for more than 250 years, but the tree of life keeps changing. New findings allow scientists to rearrange branches, or at least some of the twigs. For example, researchers have been looking at small parts of an organism's genetic makeup called ribosomal RNA, but that might be too narrow a focus. Jonathan Eisen, a biologist at the Institute for Genomic Research in Rockville, Maryland, is using a relatively new approach that takes a broader view. Eisen studies all the genetic material in bacteria to determine how different species are related.
If we look at the entire genetic content of different bacteria and ask how are all of the genes related to all of the genes from another bacteria, do we get the same answer that people got by studying a single gene, this ribosomal RNA? And can we use this study of the whole genome to get a more precise picture of how bacteria are related to each other and how the history of bacteria occurred over time?
Eisen says the organism Microsporidia is an example. It was thought to be an unusual parasite related to humans and plants.
More recently, someone has sequenced the whole genome of one of these organisms, and analyzing all of the proteins from the genome of this organism, people have come to the conclusion that, in fact, this is a fungi. It's nothing unusual at all. The ribosomal RNA gene from this organism was what was unusual.
Gaining a more accurate understanding of nature's linkages has real-world applications. For example, doctors can now use drugs designed to treat fungal diseases to fight Microsporidia infections. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Doolittle, to talk to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Slipped me over and I guess you thought I was all right. All right in a sort of a limited way for an off night. She said, don't I know you from the cinematographer's party? I said, who am I to blow against the wind?
I know what I know.
Welcome back here in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network. Friday afternoon, some experts foresee revolt by elderly over drug benefits. This it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And the, you know, the politics of all this is getting frankly fascinating. It seems that Americans are starting to wake up, and now you've got folks on the right talking to each other, talking to themselves about, you know, what are we going to do about this? What if they do this? For example, in the Wall Street Journal last week, this was, I don't have the date on it, but I think this was, actually, I think it was this week. I think it was Monday or Tuesday's paper. This article, Business is Issue for Democrats, Taking Corporate Scandals to Campaign is Switching Tactics, by Jacob Schlesinger and Tom Hamburger, Dateline Washington. President Bush sees the Medicare drug bill as a way to score points on the Democrats' traditional social welfare turf, they point out. You know, in other words, and I want to get to that, too, because he's just steaming that these guys, you know, took his thunder twice now. They did it with the No Child Left Behind, and then they did it with Medicare. In both cases, they took his idea, turned it into pork barrel privatization, you know, wiping out. I mean, they have done so much damage to education with this No Child Left Behind thing. And now so much damage is being done to Medicare, which is mind-boggling. Oh, by the way, lest I wander back on topic here. I was mentioning inflation just before we broke, led to a lively discussion in our chat room about what do you do, and eerie the parallels between now and Germany in the 20s and 30s, and where do you put your money and all that sort of thing. There seems to be a consensus forming, both on the right and the left, this is sort of independent of politics, that George Bush has spent this country into bankruptcy. And the world is not going to stand for it. I mean, it's not like they're going to say harump. It's that they're going to stop investing in the United States. And in fact, we've seen this. There was a huge drop in investment in the United States in the last quarter prior to the quarter before that, compared to the quarter before that. And it's one of those numbers that doesn't get talked about as much, how much money is coming into the United States from foreign sources. But if they stop buying our debt, if foreign governments, and China has become one of the major holders of federal treasury bills and treasury bonds, if they stop buying our debt, then we're really in trouble. We're going to have to start paying more and more interest to get people to buy our debt because they'll consider it worth less, because as the nation goes into bankruptcy, as the nation goes into poverty, the nation is worth less. The currency that reflects the value of the nation is worth less. And so the value of investments held by foreigners will decline. Now, to us, it'll look like the price is going up. But from their way of looking at it, it's the dollar's going, the value of the dollar's going down. It means that the value of things are declining, and the value of their investments will decline, and so they're going to bail out. And we're already seeing the beginning of this. And what this brings about, and we saw this when Nixon tried to finance the Vietnam War with deficit spending, and it led to 18% interest rates in the 1970s. And we saw this when Reagan tried to finance Star Wars and have a tax cut at the same time, a huge deficit spending, and it led to the high interest rates and the stagflation and the stagnation of the economy that brought down George Bush Sr., the Reagan recession. And we're going to see it again. So the consensus that seems to be forming is buy a house. That's a good investment. Buy your house if you can. Pay it off if you can. If you can't, be sure that you have a fixed rate mortgage, because people with variable rate mortgages are going to get nailed. The banks are salivating. They are so hustling right now to get everybody moved over to variable rate mortgages because they see this coming. They're no dummies. I mean, anybody who reads the Wall Street Journal knows this is coming. Or Barron's or Forbes or any of the other business publications that talk about this stuff. The other things are investing, if you have cash to invest, investing in gold, investing in euro-denominated stocks, Canadian firms. Anyhow, some ideas. Also, the United States, and this might be the best thing, the United States government is now selling its debt. If you want to buy debt in the United States government, it's probably the safest debt out there. They're selling savings bonds that are indexed to inflation. Now, this is a new thing that they just started a year or two ago, maybe three. And you can actually buy them online with a credit card from treasury.gov. And if you've got one of those credit cards where you get frequent flyer miles, you get miles for buying your savings bonds. And you can buy up to, I think, $20,000 a year is the maximum. And they're indexed to inflation. So when this stuff hits the fan, there will be some protection. That seems to me like a pretty reasonable thing. So anyhow, this is a continuation. Back to this article here, the Wall Street Journal, how this is going to be playing out between the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats don't really realize it, that they have this incredibly powerful campaign issue, and that is the fact that the Republicans are owned lock, stock, and barrel by big multinational corporations. That the Republicans are perceived, even by Republicans, as being too much in the pockets of the wealthy corporations. So you got Dick Gephardt going, this is a continuation of this administration selling our government. And Howard Dean, this government has sold itself to the special interests. And John Edwards, it's like an auction on eBay, except the only people who get to bid are corporate lobbyists. These all quotes from the last debate, as I recall. And the Wall Street Journal says, but the rhetoric is more than an ad hoc response to a likely Republican victory. It marks a sharp shift from the Clinton years. Remember the Clinton, remember the New Democrats? The Democratic Leadership Council? The whole idea that, hey, let's bring the corporations in. Wouldn't it be nice to have corporations here? We could use the corporations. Let's have the corporations, but we'll take their money, said the Democratic Leadership Council and the New Democrats and Tony Blair and New Labor. And a lot of folks sat back and said, huh, Republican light. And sure enough, here, Wall Street Journalist article by Schlesinger and Hamburger. Now Democrats are attempting to make up for what many party strategists consider one of their biggest missed opportunities in recent years, a failure to win over voters during the wave of corporate and Wall Street scandals. And of course, why? Because they had their hands out, too, just like the Republicans. The Republicans had their hands in the pockets of the Democrats in Congress, just like the Republicans did. The corporations did. Had their hands in the... You know what I'm saying. So, for example, the Healthy Forest Initiative, The clean skies initiative. I mean, all of these things have been done in the interest of very narrow political considerations, you know, like the, okay, so Bush throws a bone to the steel industry in Pennsylvania to help Rick Santorum get elected in 2002 with his trade tariffs. And he's going to try and keep it there because he's got to take Ohio and Pennsylvania, and people are close to revolt. So many people are unemployed. So many jobs have been lost. And you don't control import-export policy of a nation as big as the United States by simply playing with the value of its currency. You do it by specific trade legislation. If there are things that are made in other countries that we don't make here and that people here want to buy, then you let them in. And if there are things that we make here and they make in other countries and they have an unfair competitive advantage over us, you put a barrier up that says, hey, this is going to level the playing field. It's very straightforward. This isn't rocket science. We've been doing it since 1784. Anyhow, the Healthy Forest Initiative, according to this article in the Wall Street Journal, Bush aides said the bill has polled well in the high unemployment logging states of Washington and Oregon, which Mr. Bush lost by narrow margins in 2000. You get it? The Healthy Forest Initiative is polled well. I told you, this is the most poll-driven White House in the history of the presidency. So anyhow, the point of the article is President Clinton has gone a long way toward countering the old stereotype of Democrats as being anti-business. Mr. Clinton's Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin, the architect of that strategy, wrote in his recently published memoirs. However, Mr. Rubin didn't return the Wall Street Journal's phone call when they called him up to say, well, you know, because it was Rubin who came up with the idea, you know, hey, why should we be anti-business? That's where the bucks are. Howard Dean says, at Enron, those at the top enrich themselves by deceiving everyone else and robbing ordinary people. The Bush administration is following their lead. Senator John Kerry now has TV ads saying Mr. Bush, quote, let corporate lobbyists rewrite our environmental laws. Alarm at the Wall Street Journal that the Democrats may start using this information, these simple realities, as campaign issues. They may stir the people up. Here we have Ted Kennedy. I found this very interesting. This is an article in the Boston Globe by Susan Millian. Saying GOP broke word, Kennedy vows new tactics. In fact, it would be interesting to ask somebody in Washington what those tactics might be, although I doubt anybody would be willing to speculate because Kennedy is so well-respected and well-considered that, you know, you don't speculate. Anyhow, when the Senate voted last summer, here's the Dateline Washington, when the Senate voted last summer to provide Medicare patients with prescription drug coverage, a fiery Senator Edward M. Kennedy hailed the bill as, quote, the greatest action in a generation to mend the broken promise of Medicare, end quote. Now it is Kennedy complaining about broken promises after Republican leaders took the bill that Kennedy painstakingly negotiated and morphed it into an industry-friendly Medicare reform package that opens the 38-year-old entitlement program to competition with private insurers. The senator, who had spent months cajoling Democrats to back his version of the legislation, was back on the floor this week. They go on. But the bottom line is that some Democrats complain that Kennedy, in a reach for career-capping legislation, has ended up handing two of the party's most potent issues to the Republicans. But Kennedy himself is alarmed, shall we say, that the Republicans have been taking his issues and running with them, stealing them, just taking the, you know, hey, you know, Medicare, cool, we'll take that. The education reform, yeah, sure, we'll take that. We'll figure out a way to hand this program over to our corporate buddies, who will then put some of that money back in our pockets so that we can get reelected. Very straightforward. So back in 1988, I don't know if you remember, back in 1988, Congress passed legislation that included drug coverage for, you know, there was a bill that was passed, and it was repealed. And it was repealed because affluent retirees, according to this article in the New York Times by Gardner Harris, some experts foresee revolt by elderly over drug benefits. Affluent retirees quickly concluded that they were being asked to pay for something that their employers already gave. They rose in revolt. Congress repealed the legislation within months. Some experts envision a similar fate for the Medicare drug benefit that the Senate sent to President Bush's desk yesterday. Goes on the New York Times article. The legislation provides billions in tax incentives to discourage employers from dropping the drug benefits that they provide to about 11 million retirees. But if, as pessimists expect, many large employers... Hey, here's the deal. The bill has this thing in it that says, okay, you're a company, you're employing people who are old enough to qualify for Medicare, but they're still working. And we're going to pay you $1,000 a year to keep insuring those people. And there's just cash handouts to corporations built into this bill. The problem is that most companies are spending more than $1,000 a year to insure the seniors. And so when the day comes, and it won't be until 2006 that this little firecracker here is going to blow up in the face of Congress, or in the face of seniors, or both. But if you run a company and you're paying more than $1,000 a year for health insurance for your seniors, do you think that you're going to say, cool, I'll take that $1,000 and keep paying $3,000 to the health insurance companies? I don't think so. I think what's going to happen, again, not until 2006. I mean, the nasty stuff in this bill happens after the presidential elections. In fact, so far after, the reason why this thing goes into effect in 2006 is that if Bush gets elected and he's president until 2008, it'll ride, 2006, 2007, it'll just ride up to the edge of that. But anyhow, the employers are going to bail out. And people are going to be left, you know, stuck with Medicaid and really upset. News without conflicts of global corporate interest. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you
think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free, 1-800-205-7067, or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067, or populist.com, or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
The Mike Mullins Show.
An interview with Georgian Pickles from the current issue of Ladies Home Journal. They're asked about what September 11, 2001 was like for them personally. Although over 3,000 people had just perished, George W. was able to find some humor by the end of the day.
The day ended on a relatively humorous note. The agent said, "You'll be sleeping downstairs." And I said, "No, we like our own bed." So I told the agent, "We're going upstairs." And the agent comes running up and says, "Run your attack. We need you downstairs." So there we go. I'm in my running shorts and my T-shirt, and I'm barefooted, got the dog in one hand, Laura had the cat.
I don't have my contacts in, and I'm in my fuzzy house slippers.
And we're heading straight down to the basement because there's an incoming unidentified airplane which is going here toward the White House, and then the guy says it's a friendly airplane, and we hustle all the way back upstairs and go to bed.
And we just lay there thinking about the way we must have looked.
We got a laugh out of it.
The Mike Mullins Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to
different...
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Rastaman vibration, yeah, positive. I and I vibration, yeah, positive. I am on vibration, yeah,
Irish. And welcome back. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. Special thanks today to Steph Stryker for working on what, I don't know if it's a holiday normally for the folks at IE, but it is for a lot of folks in the country, and Steph's done a great job running the board here all day, engineering our program in Detroit. Thank you, Steph. Thanks to Louise and to Joe McPherson, Louise Hartman and Joe McPherson, Joe down in Atlanta, who produced the show today. And thanks to you all for listening. Now, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, Raymond in Cement City, Michigan's on the line. We've got a few minutes left here. Hey, Raymond, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I just wanted to call and kind of expand on one of the points you were going into earlier, and that was with respect to some of these policies that it looks like the administration is trying to capture the name of, and then put it on a, you know, on a pig, you know, kind of dress up a pig with a popular name. And what I've been
watching, it's called a pig and a poke.
Yeah, and what I was watching, though, is I was watching that I think the administration is trying to jump on a lot of the things that Clark is saying and trying to use some of his suggestions for the issues over there in Iraq and Afghanistan. But you never can depend on what's behind them all in what they're doing. That's what's the scary part, and that's why he keeps calling it a bait and switch is what they're trying to pull.
Yeah.
Put one thing out, make it look like something that's popular or supported or progressive or whatever, and then they switch the guts. They change the personality of it, you know?
Well, the Bush administration has changed their tune now three times in the last 2 weeks on Iraq, and I'm expecting that they're going to move more and more toward the Democratic position. Raymond, I'm wondering, what do you think of George W. visiting Iraq? What's your take on it?
Well, I think it's part of a really sophisticated media war, and I think that a lot of it, and because I'm a Clark supporter, I think a lot of it is going on between the administration and Clark, and it started back when they wanted to get him off the air when he was over. This was during the Clinton.
Good one. We're out of time, Raymond. Good point. Thank you very much for sharing that, and thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in Monday, same time, same place. Have a great weekend.